That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." And may the Lord add his blessing upon his word here this morning. You know, I was just thinking about this passage of scripture, and as we were singing, and we're singing one of the songs, "Send us your glory. Send us your glory." I don't think we really understand that at 100% what that really involves. And I think this passage of scripture, it kind of gives us a picture of that, where the Bible says that suddenly the angel of the Lord appeared and the radiance of God's glory. And they were fearful. You know, I think if that same thing happened, the radiance of God's glory suddenly filled this room, man, there'd be a lot of thoughts going in our mind. What's going on? What's happening? And I pray that we'll experience, I believe we're going to experience that one of these Sundays, that the glory of the Lord is going to come down in such a powerful way that we will be in awe and amazed, maybe even a little bit fearful, because it's something that we've not experienced to that degree. And I pray that, Lord, send your glory, more of your glory. Well, anyway, this morning, I want to talk to you about hope and ask you the question of whether Jesus is your hope. Are you trusting Jesus? Are you placing your confidence in Jesus as the person that is able to achieve that which you are wanting in life? Or is your hope built on someone else or something else? Where is your hope? We might all say, "Oh, yes, it's in Jesus." Well, then are we seeking him for those things that we're desiring to happen in our lives? Because that's what it talks about when Jesus is our hope. In life, we all go through times where faith and our hope is tested. Right now in our nation of Canada, we're facing economic decline, and a decline that has basically hit everywhere in Canada, and even here in Alberta. And right now we're seeing that affect us even right here in our own community. Job losses, people moving away, salaries, budget restraints, financial worries. It's kind of a real problem that's going on in our own community, even in our own church, as some of our own people here are facing some of those pressures as well. To add that, we have all the stress of life, busyness, finances, relationship issues, marriages, sickness, disease, emotional hurts, and all those things. And then we look at our world, and we see that our world is in crisis. Government failures, economic, natural disasters. Just yesterday, earthquake, not too far from here. And even rumors of war. Although a lot of those things is what Jesus says that we are to expect before his coming. So sometimes, you know, life, when you add all those things, it'd be quite stressful at times. And things can look so bad that sometimes fear begins to creep in. And when fear begins to creep in, hope begins to decrease. And that's something that we need to be careful of today, because there's a lot of fear in our world today. And it's in these times that faith and hope really gets challenged. And that's where we need to be looking at ourselves and say, well, are these things drawing me closer to Jesus? Or are all these things that are happening drawing me away from Jesus? And that kind of answers your question whether or not your hope is still in Jesus. So with all the things that are happening in our world, all the things that may be happening in your life today, is it drawing you closer to Jesus or is it drawing you further away from Jesus? And that will tell you whether or not your hope is actually in him. So where are you in your life? Now, thankfully, every year we're reminded through our Christmas season that there is a person who is the hope of not just ourselves as individuals, but a person who is the hope of the nations. If you ever looked at the back of our sign, it's kind of getting faded. We need a new sign, but we need lots of money to do a new sign. But it says, Jesus, hope of the nations. Sometimes when we come here to church, there's a car that sits out there and kind of ask, hey, can we help you, whatever. No, I'm just praying. Some person just likes to come by. He likes to pray there. But Jesus Christ, he's the hope of the nation. And that's what we're reminded of every year. Thankfully, Christmas serves a very good reason because it's reminding everybody that Jesus Christ is still the hope of the world. And it's interesting as you read the Christmas story of the shepherds that it begins by the angels addressing an issue of fear. Not of hope, but of fear, first of all. Because even at that time of the world, there was a lot of fear. How was the world going? They didn't like the occupation of the Romans. A lot of unrest in the country. There was a lot of fears. And then when these shepherds experienced this angel that suddenly stood before them, tells us that the radiance of God's glory shone round about them, I bet you they were on the ground trembling. I really do. And that's before the heavenly host came in and started joining them. But I also wonder, well, how would we react if suddenly you saw this giant angel standing here and suddenly the glory of the Lord just began, it's being poured out on us? I think we'd all be flattened out right on the floor as the glory of the presence of God would consume us and overcome us. The shepherds, as they saw the angels, as they experienced that glory, they began to react with fear. Sometimes we, even when it comes to God and hoping in God, sometimes we react, first of all, in fear before we realize that we need to change our life and start focusing on the hope of the world, Jesus Christ. Now, this wasn't a dream that they were having. This wasn't something that they were imagining. It was something that was very out of the ordinary, something supernatural. It wasn't normal thing that angels would suddenly appear. It wasn't normal that suddenly a tangible sense of the presence of God would just begin to fill the wilderness. Something they never felt before. Caused them to fear for their life. They thought they were going to die. They really did. Because there was a lot of superstition. There was a lot of, even in the, we look at the Old Testament, that any time that there was an angelic appearance, most people thought they were going to die. Because if you saw God, you couldn't stand before God. You would die in his presence. So there was that fear that was out there. But fear is kind of a normal response to the unknown, to the unexpected. And I think all of us would probably have responded the same way if we were there when those angels came that day, just like the shepherds. You'd be kind of be waiting to find out, is this a good visitation or is this a bad visitation? And as we look at what the Bible says, that you read Revelations, most of those angels, as they come, that's not good visitation. They're bringing judgment. And so having that understanding, are they here for good reasons or are they here for bad reasons? Now, fear is something that can grab a hold of the best of us, especially when something happens that puts us in a place that we're not familiar with, hasn't happened before, it's unexpected. But when fear comes in and it starts to settle in our hearts and our lives, questions begin to arise. We start to question our faith. We start to question our hope. We start to question even God himself. And fear can get us to that place where we actually pull away from God. That the Lord is no longer our hope, but rather we're really going in a different direction. Even might even be mad at God. And what happens is fear becomes king instead of hope being king. And as I was reading this passage of scripture, I was going to go in a totally different direction in this message. And this just hit me so hard. And I just felt today that the Lord was saying that there's folks here today that your world maybe seems upside down right now. And that there's fear that has been settling into your life today to a place that you've never been there before. And you really don't know what to do. And maybe if you were honest, that you would be saying, you know, Pastor, I'm actually trembling because I really don't know what's going to happen. Well, I believe the Lord gave me a word for you. And it's the same word that the angel spoke to the shepherds on that very first Christmas. And these are those words: don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. Good news is on the way. And I really believe that God has something in store that's going to bless you and bring you back to a place of joy. So don't lose the hope. Don't lose your faith in God. Because unusual occurrences are on their way. And they're going to encourage you and they're going to help you through this uncertain time. For the shepherds, it was an angelic appearance. Presence of the glory of God that led them to experience the birth of Jesus. Their fear shifted to great joy and enthusiasm, resulting, the Bible says, in them glorifying and praising their God. And I believe that's what God has in store for many of you in this place. A shift is about to happen. Your fears are going to be turned to praise. Your mourning is going to be turned to joy. And your sorrow is going to be turned into dancing, where you'll be declaring the praises of your God. Kind of a funny dream I had, I think it was last week. And as I was dreaming and I was waking up singing this old Celtic song. And it's dance, dance, wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. It's kind of a funny little tune. I played it for our staff one morning. But as I got thinking about that, well, I'm not really a dancer. Don't really know how to dance at all. But I was feeling the Lord saying, but I'm the Lord of the dance. I'm in charge. There's a dance that is coming. And I believe that for our body here in our church. There's a dance that's coming. There's a shift that's going to take place that would lead us all to a place out of the ordinary for ourselves, that maybe we would all start dancing unto the Lord. And so the Lord says in this story, and I believe it's a story for you today, even before we get into the message part, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear not. The angel said, I bring you, Luke 2:10-11, I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Jesus Christ is the hope we need. And it's a reminder that every year at this time of the season, that we're reminded that Jesus Christ is our hope. Jesus Christ is the hope of the world. He is the answer for all the issues and all the problems and all the difficulties that are taking place. And so this morning, I want to give you that word, fear not, that hope would rise within you. But I also want to remind you of who your God is, and that he's worthy of your faith, he's worthy of your hope. You can trust in him, you can have a confidence in him, because he is going to work a miracle on your behalf. Why would I say that? We were singing it this morning. Jesus is the Savior, first point. One of the first reasons why we should put our hope in Jesus is because he is the Savior. He is the Savior of the world. Not just of some people, not just of the Jewish people, but of all people all over the world. Luke 2:10-11 again, but the angel reassured them, don't be afraid, he said. I bring you good news that's going to bring great joy to all people. The Savior. The Savior. That Savior is Jesus Christ. The promised one of Scripture that has been sent into the world from God to save us from the consequences of sin, judgment, and hell. God so loved the world that He gave us His Son. A Savior is one who saves, one who rescues, one who perseveres for us and preserves us from harm and danger, one who delivers us from sin, from judgment, one who is able to save us from dangers and problems and difficulties and attacks. He doesn't just save us from sin. He doesn't just save us from hell. He's not just a ticket to get you out of hell. He's a God that saves you in all areas of our lives. That's who our Jesus is. That's who He is. He's a God who saves. And He's the only God who saves. Our Jesus is the only one who did something about sin. Lots of people talk about other saviors out there, but what did they do? Nothing. What did Jesus do? He went to the cross for us. He died in our place. He became our sacrifice, our gift to take our place. He paid in full our debt of sin, which the Bible says, what's the debt of sin? It's death. Only He could fulfill that role because there needed to be a sinless offering. There was no one else in the world who had not sinned. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. So we needed someone to come to be an appropriate sacrifice. The sinless Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, was the only one that could fulfill that role. It is a historical fact that Jesus did this for us, and He's become the Savior of Saviors because no one else has done what Jesus has done. You can check out history all you want. There's no other Savior that compares to Him, even in our secular historical books. Acts 5, 30, 31 says, "The God of our ancestors raised Jesus from the dead, and you killed Him by hanging Him on a cross. Then God put Him in a place of honor at His right hand as Prince and Savior. He did this so the people of Israel would repent of their sins and be forgiven." And then as you read on, it talks about us as Gentiles. What are Gentiles? Just people who are not Jews. It's for all the world. He died for all the world. But our Savior sits at the right hand of God, the right hand of the Father God, a place of authority. And in that place, He's referred to as Prince, and He's referred to as Savior. So there is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. Our Jesus sits in that place of authority. So where would you want to place your hope in? Just any God or the God of gods and the Lord of lords, the Savior of the world? That's who Jesus is. That's who He is. Jude chapter 1, 25 says, "All glory to Him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are His before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen." Do we not want to serve the God that's in the past and in the future and to eternity? That's who Jesus is. That's the Savior that we serve. That's the Savior that we have placed our hope in. Jesus Christ is the right place to place our faith in. He is the right place to place our hope in because He's the Savior of Saviors with all authority in heaven and on earth. So when you have a hope in Jesus Christ, your hope is in the right place. A second reason why we should place our hope in Jesus is that He is the promised Messiah of Scripture. For centuries, it has been proclaimed that a Messiah would come. Again, verses 10 to 11 of Luke chapter 2. "But the angel reassured them, 'Don't be afraid,' he said, 'because I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people, the Savior, yes, the Messiah.'" Again, it's reminding us that Jesus is the Messiah, which means He's the anointed one. He is the promised one. He is the expected deliverer of the Jewish people and the expected deliverer of all the world. So our hope needs to be in Jesus as we realize He is the promised Messiah that has been prophesied to come. And Jesus fulfills all those prophecies with unusual detail. And there's so many passages of Scripture, we could spend the whole afternoon just reading passage after passage that talks about Jesus before we ever hear the Christmas story. Let me read to you from Isaiah 53, 5 to 9, just taking a small portion. And just listen to how it applies to Jesus. But he was pierced for our rebellion. Remember that spear? Crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. And yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away. No one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal, and he was put in a rich man's grave. There's hundreds and hundreds of verses like that that speak of Jesus, the coming Messiah. You would really have to have your mind totally closed to God to not see that in Scripture. Jesus is clearly the anointed one, the promised king of the lineage of King David. That's why when you kind of get in there to Matthew and into Luke there, they have all those, he begot this person, begot that person, that begot that, just to show you that even in the lineage, that Jesus Christ is indeed a king, that he is Lord, he is the Messiah, he is the coming king. So everyone needs to come to that place where we recognize that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that he's the anointed one. He is the one chosen by God to be the Savior of the world. Matthew 16, 13 to 16 tells us of the story of Peter and his response. It says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? Well, they replied, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. Then Jesus got to the point of it all. He said, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. See, that's a statement that God is asking of all of us. Who do you say that I am? Am I your hope? Have you placed your faith in me? Have you placed your confidence in me? He asks us that question. And every one of us needs to be able to respond and say that, Lord, you are the Messiah. You are the Son of God. You are the Christ. You are my Savior. You are my Lord and my God. There are so many opinions in our world today of who is Jesus. Some say, yeah, he's a prophet. Some say, oh, he's just a holy man. Some say he's just a teacher or a good person, or just a God of many gods. But just like Peter, everyone on the face of the earth must come to that place where they acknowledge who Jesus Christ really is. And there is a day that's coming where every knee will confess, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day or another, you will come to that place where you're going to bow your knee and you're going to have to confess. The time to do that is now. The time to do that is today, not some other day, not saying, well, maybe when I see him in the clouds coming, then I'll say it. It's too late. Today is the day, the Bible says, of salvation. So that's who our Jesus is. He is the Messiah. He is the promised one, the anointed one, the very Son of God. And as we place our hope, as we place our faith in him, it is indeed in the right place. And then lastly from this passage, We see that we should place our faith and our hope in Jesus, as Jesus is Lord. He is the authority, the ruler. He is the God above all others. He's supreme. And all that he does, he is Lord. We used to sing that old chorus. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Luke 10:10-11. But the angel reassured him, again, don't be afraid, he said. Why? I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. So Jesus Christ is not just a God, he is the God. He is the Lord of lords, King of kings, God of gods. There is no one that is greater than he. He has all authority, all power over all others. He is the supreme one. He is Lord over all. That's what it's declaring when we say Jesus is Lord. Savior of saviors, God of gods, the great prophet, the great high priest, the great king, the great Lord, the great ruler, the great authority. He is above all others. Again, that's what the scripture tells us. Philippians 2:9-11. Therefore, God elevated him, talking of Jesus, to the place of highest honor, gave him a name above all other names, that the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Then Ephesians 1:21. Now he is far above any ruler or authority, or power, or leader, or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Friends, when you have your hope in Jesus, it is in the right place. Because Jesus is Lord of all, over everything. He's Lord. He's still God. Maybe you have a problem or a situation that is a big problem to you right now. But you need to recognize Jesus is Lord. He is Lord over every situation, every circumstance, every problem, every difficulty. He's still God and he's still Lord of all. That's who he is. And again, this is essential to our salvation that we would acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord. Just like it tells us in the book of Romans, Romans 10:9. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. See, unfortunately, many people only get to that place of, I believe in Jesus, but they don't make him Lord. Jesus needs to be Lord in our lives. It's not enough just to believe. The Bible says, yes, the demons even believe in Jesus. The Bible says even the demons, they tremble at the name of Jesus. It's not enough just to believe. You need to get to that place where you make him your Lord of your life. That means you give up your rights. You submit yourself to God that we might do his will over our will. That's in the Lord's Prayer, our Father. As we pray our Father which art in heaven, and we get to that part, thy will be done. You're submitting your will to his will because why? He is your Lord. He is your master. He is your king. You are his servant. You serve underneath him. So he's your Lord. You need to follow him first in everything, not the other way around, where we often serve ourselves first, and then if there's time, we give it to God. No, you give it all to God, and then when there's some free time, then you can do some things for yourself. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's your master. He's your king. You serve him, not the other way around. That's what it means to make Jesus Lord. And friends, whether you do that or not will not change the fact that there will be one day you can be as hard as you want to be. One day you're going to fall on your knees. And you'll have to declare, just like everybody else in all the world, they'll have to recognize Jesus is Lord. It will happen. So in closing this morning, this Christmas season, it really does serve as a great reminder to us that our hope and our faith is in the right place. We serve a God that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even think, because he's the Savior of Saviors. He is the Messiah over all Messiahs. He is Lord of Lords. He is the Supreme One, God in the flesh. And he's worthy of our hope. He's worthy of our trust. He's worthy of our confidence. And that's something we need to ask ourselves today. Am I trusting in Jesus? Am I trusting in him? Am I looking to him? Is he my hope? Or have I allowed other things to come into my life that my hope is actually in them? In money. And making money. More money. Is your hope in something else or someone else? It needs to be in him. You may be going through some difficult times right now. You may be at that place where maybe fear has crept in. But I want you to know today, God is saying there's hope. Because he's a God of hope. Isn't it interesting that you would be in church today and maybe you're going through some of these things and you had no idea that this would be here? That's a pretty big letters. Man, they really stick out. Hope. There's hope. I don't know what's going on in your life. For some of you, I do. Majority of you, I don't. But I can tell you something. That's just not for decoration. That's a message God wants to speak into your life. There's hope. There's hope. Whatever you're going through this very morning, whatever's been coming against you, whatever's been causing fear in your life, God wants to get that across to you this morning. There's hope. There's hope. And nice big letters. There's hope. There's hope for you. He is the Savior of the world. He's the promised Messiah. He's Lord, God of eternity. There's hope. I close with a word. It's a scripture promise. I believe there's some of you here today, you need to take a hold of this and take home. Our original passage of scripture tells us, do not be afraid. Fear not. Because there's hope. There's hope. But there's a special passage I want to leave you with as we close. It's found in Isaiah 41:10. I have this on my computer, actually, in my office here. It says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you with my victorious right hand. That's what God says. Is there fear in your life today? Are there some things that you're going through that are difficult and hard where you don't know what you're to do? You don't know what to say, how to respond, or maybe you're in a place that you're just trembling because you don't know, what am I going to do? I know there's some pretty big situations out there that people are facing, not just here in our church, but in our community. A lot of tough issues out there. I want to tell you something. There's a message that God wants to get across. It's hope. There's hope. There's hope. You're here today. You're going through some stuff. There's some fears that have crept in. And Jesus wants to tell you, there's hope. You just need to come to him. You just need to come to him. There's hope in him. He can change your circumstances. He can make unusual occurrences happen that will bring you great joy in your life again. Your joy is going to come back. Maybe that joy has been robbed from you. The enemy of our soul likes to do that. He likes to rob us of our joy. God said, I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to bring it back. I'm going to turn that mourning into dancing. I'm going to turn your sorrow into joy. Weird songs, just like for me, may come to your mind of that you're going to start dance. And all of a sudden, something you've never done before, you may just start doing because the glory of God comes down and touches you and gives you hope. We're going to close in a word of prayer. And maybe you're here this morning. I know we got a going to be changing things up here shortly. So usually we pray for people at the end of the service, and that's not going to work out today with us changing these chairs and that. So I just want to pray for you right now. Father, you know each of our circumstances. You know about the fears that we've allowed to come in. And Lord, some of those things are kind of big, so pretty normal for us to have some fear. But Lord, I know that you want to tell us today that we're not to fear. And that we're to hope in you. We're to trust in you. We're to place our confidence in you, that you are bigger than our problem. You are bigger than our circumstance. And Lord, that word hope is nice and big here this morning to get across into our heads that there's hope. There's hope. You don't have to fear. There is hope for you today. Jesus is more than big enough. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. That's who he is. That's who he is. He's able. He's able. He's able to do more than what you can imagine. He's able to do more than what you can think. And if we would look to him, we would trust him. The sun's going to come shining through. It's going to break through your clouds this morning. It's going to open up and shine upon you. Just like it was in that very day of that announcement, the heavens opened. I pray that the heavens would open upon you. And that wherever you might be at home, whether it be in the daytime or nighttime, that the heavens would open over your home. And that the glory of the Lord would begin to shine and radiate round about you. And that the Lord would begin to speak into your life. And that the Lord would meet with you and would touch you and would encourage you. And we'd take those things that you've allowed to weaken your faith, to weaken your hope, that he would come in there and he would turn everything around to such an extent that it would be to the other extreme, where instead of sorrow, there would be joy. Instead of mourning, there would be dancing. I pray that, Lord, over every person in this place. Lord, if there be those here today that have never welcomed you into their life, have never made you Lord of their lives, I just pray that, God, even as I'm praying, they would just open up their heart and say, Jesus, come into my life today. Forgive me of those sins that I've committed. Wash me. Cleanse me. And Lord, just like that snow outside that's so fresh and so white, it says that your blood cleanses me of all unrighteousness, is like as white as snow. I'm clean. The dirtiest vessel, Jesus can come and make it as white as snow. And as you ask him to come into your life, choose also to say, today I make you Lord. Today I make you Lord, and I will serve you all the days of my life. So Lord, I just pray that blessing over your people here. Do not be afraid. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is with you. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. He's going to bring you good news that's going to change your circumstance and change your situation and going to turn things around so much that there'll be that reaction of joy and dancing. So Lord, I pray that over your people today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise his name. Easy thing to do. To focus on hope and that God is our hope. And if you're here this morning and you're going